cliffcentral.com.
He is a king,
Gareth Cliff. That was the most horrible Justin Bieber song I've ever heard in my life that we played just now. I thought, let me see what's going on with him, because clearly he's in a bad place. Jesus, didn't he just get married to like a Baldwin? The guy is singing, I'm so lonely. Wasn't there a song? Yes, lonely, I am so lonely. That's almost like that one. It's the most, what a terrible song. I should have
checked. I didn't like it because it's, yeah, it sounds a little yodely as well.
It's so, it's so depressing. It's so shit. I can imagine people killing themselves after listening to a song like that. Horrible, horrible song. I didn't listen to it before. I thought, let's trust Bieber on this one. That'll be the last time.
You know what I got into the other day? It was just a very, very random observation.
Yeah.
I'm so glad music has evolved so much that we stop making these super, super long songs. I listened to the original song. Just the Two of Us.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it's by. It is like almost 8 minutes long.
No, you see, that's like self-indulgent. They rated songs a while ago. They did a survey and actually got computers to do a calculation, basically figure out the perfect algorithm for a song. And they figured that the most popular songs in the world are songs that are actually much shorter, not longer. So they rated a lot of songs that were just over 2 minutes long, which is very short. You know, the average song is usually about three and a half minutes. So anything longer than that is just totally self-indulgent. It's ridiculous, actually.
But because I was driving home. It was after I came to the office for a meeting, and I'm thinking, wow, this song has been going on for a while. I was almost home. And I actually looked down to look at the time. It was almost 8 minutes. Like, yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody is another long song.
Yeah, that's about 6 minutes. So it's about double the length of a normal song. Anyway,
yeah.
I will never play Justin Bieber's Lonely again. What a shit song. I don't know if you guys saw this, and I thought it was a bullshit story, but it's true, that the lottery... the sequence of numbers in the lottery was, are you ready? 5, 6,
yes.
7, 8, 9, and 10. No, I was not counting down to giving you the numbers in the lottery. Those were the numbers. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And people are losing their minds. They're like, oh, it's definitely corruption. It's cheating. This is proof. Listen, the sequence 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 is just as likely as any sequence of random numbers. All these sequences are numbers. The chances of you winning on any of them are exactly the same, including 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And a lot of people actually select those numbers. And so it turns out 20 people won.
Yeah, probably more people than with any other sequence, because it's, what do they call it? The numbers follow each other. It's sequential.
So your chances of winning the lottery at any time are 1 in 42 million.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, so each winner. Yeah.
It's the same as for every other number sequence.
Exactly. So each winner of this lotto won 5.7 rand or 300. What?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Uh-oh, numbers, not our strong point. But apparently you...
Not our strong point.
But apparently, Sia, you and Gord discussed this at length the other morning anyway, so I think it's pretty much a done deal. But, I mean, well done to anybody who does... You know, if you go to the lottery and you buy a ticket every single week, then, you know, if you buy the same sequence of numbers, then you probably have a better chance than some. No, you don't. You have exactly the same chance. What am I talking about?
See, this is why I'm not getting involved. Then statisticians coming and then they talk about the probability and the likelihood.
But if you've been. Okay, so in other words, if you for the last 10 years have been going 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and this is the time you. Good for you. That's all I can say. Your persistence has led to some kind of win for you, and you deserve it. It's just as good. So well done. They won
If I can redeem myself, please.
Yeah, they won 5.5
370,000 rand.
Is that all?
Each is what they won, because there were 20 of them.
Linda says they won 5.5 million each.
This is so weird. Okay, because this story is putting stuff in dollars, but it says they win $370,000 with a dollar sign in front, and then they put the word rand behind it. So confused. Right. I'll take Linda's word for it.
What was the total jackpot? Because 20 winners, 5.5 each, then that means it was more than 100 million. That was the total jackpot. No, and I feel like once it goes more than 100 million, we
would have
remember,
people
it.
Who have four numbers in sequence even win something. Remember? You know, if you get five numbers right out of the six, you still win something. So it's not as if all the money goes to just the people who get the jackpot. The jackpot was 105 million, according to the same Linda. This Linda knows stuff. Leanne, is there a lot of dog traffic in your street?
Yeah, it's walking time.
Okay, yeah, I can hear it.
7 o'clock.
Sounds like a menagerie out there.
A menage à toi?
No, menagerie.
Carl, isn't that safe for birds?
What? No, menagerie is a word for a zoo. A zoo is a menagerie.
Ah, that's it. Okay. There we go.
Carl, not my dog, who is sleeping here. Carl, who listens to us, says, Leanne, 5.7 rand, that's 5 rand 70 cents, you moron. You're still wrong. They won 5.5 million rand each. Okay, I'm not going to get into
this. You know what? This is making my head hurt.
I don't know. I don't know at all. All right. So let's look at the skills that are in high demand in South Africa right now and that don't require a degree, because we live in a country where there is quite a lot of need in terms of people who are unemployed, but we don't have a whole lot of jobs. So what are the skills that we do need? Sia has a list of these, and he's going to help us out this morning. This will help you perhaps if you've got a child who's thinking about what to do after school and they don't want to go and study. These are the things that you can do without a degree. Go ahead, Sia, help us out.
Mm-hmm. So the government gazetted a new list of occupations that are in high demand a couple of days ago. And they issued this around the time when people really, it's kind of late in the year, actually, if you're trying to apply for next year. But regardless, here's the list. All 345 of these occupations can be taken up without a traditional degree.
I'm going to stop
but
you.
But rather, you know, going to one of...
I'm going to stop you because if you're going to go through 345 different occupations...
I will not go
be
to
here
three. No.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Even with our bad maths, even with our terrible maths, I know that that's going to take a very long time. So give us the best ones you managed to glean from this, all right? A bit of a summary.
Yeah, so I just completing my thought quickly. So you can get into these roles, by the way, by going to one of those TVET institutions, technical and vocational education and training institutes. So it really is everything that's very hands-on, but I thought it was just going to be as simple as carpentry. But supposedly South Africa has a big shortage in the vet industry. So everything from being a veterinary nurse to being a veterinary technician, and then a lot in the transport industry as well. So air traffic controllers, aircraft navigators, and then even in things like marine safety and marine officers. But then we can go to some very basic jobs that some might look down on, but these are still jobs and you get money as well. Things like tool makers and steel fixers and pressure welders and carpenters.
No,
well,
we need those people desperately. You know, the skills thing is far more important than, like, who needs another lawyer or another politician or another what are the people who work, not engineers, we need those. But all those which people, ones? Well, I mean, any BA degree, really. Do we need more people with those? And don't I'm not saying that we don't need people doing BAs. I just don't think we need any more than we've already got. Mm-hmm. In other words, the market demand is very low. Supply is too high. So, yes, we do need people who are tool makers. We need people who are plumbers. We need people who are able to do basic electrician work. I mean, I was trying to find an electrician during lockdown. It was just about impossible.
Mm.
And you remember, these people used to come out of technicons and technical colleges, which the government, in their wisdom, shut down. So you need these people. And I'm sure your list is long and extensive, but that's interesting. Also, it's really interesting that the airline industry support people. We need more of those, like the air traffic controllers and people who can repair things in aircraft, although some of those are quite specialized jobs. What else?
And very niched. So I didn't even know there was such a thing as a leather processing machine operator.
Hell yes.
Don't know what that means, sure. But it sounds so niched. And South Africa has a shortage in that. So, yeah, there's all 345 of these positions that are requiring a lot of people to urgently get into that space. So take a look at that. Just Google it.
Well, you just made me think of someone. I have a friend who's making leather goods, like leather bags, mm-hmm. and leather keyring things and really beautiful leather stuff. And it made me think earlier when we were talking to Jurentia, who makes wooden jewelry, and you can find out more about her at ohmywoodness.co.za. That's her business's name. It made me think about all these people in the creative businesses who make manufactured goods, but who do them by hand. There's always going to be a demand for that. It's hard work, but
I saw a documentary recently on it's on a woman who's written a book specifically. These are life studies,
yeah?
On books that are bound in human skin. Ooh, leather,
like the Necronomicon.
Yeah, so it's actually a thing. Mm. You know,
yes, it's a thing called cannibalism.
Oh. No, many years ago, doctors would bind their books, their medical books, in human skin. And
really?
Apparently there are a number of human skin books floating around in libraries around the world that, you know, people don't even realize are human skin. So the way that you identify it is, if it's an original, and it would be, it's usually written by the doctor, handwritten in the front, that this is made of human skin. But also, ew. Remember, at the times that we're talking of, doctors were, they were actually quite strange. You know, the doctors these days we know, our family doctors, are friendly chaps or friendly women who like to make sure that family medicine's the name of their game. But these guys were very experimental, and, you know, they would do these autopsies and things that were just not normal.
They weren't often allowed to do the autopsies. I mean, we consider the pursuit of scientific research now to be something which we shouldn't, you know, as a country and, you know, nation states, we fund these things. So people actually take taxpayers' money in order to do research. Yeah. In those days, research was a very difficult business. If you wanted to do an autopsy, you had to steal a body sometimes. And so for those doctors who were interested in anatomy and physiology, they actually had to do a deal with a gravedigger. And they'd sometimes rob graves. And they would do, you know, experiments on, you know, dead babies and things that we would consider... Yeah. Now it's part of medical science, it's part of medical research. You know, there are people who donate their bodies to science. But in those days, people were also very religious. So they were very nervous about being caught dissecting a body, for example, because they were...
Yeah, you weren't supposed to mess with the dead.
Right, but you're telling me they would still make human body books out of skin. That's,
yeah.
That's great.
Who thought that?
Well, these crazy doctors who were very weird in those days.
It's just the kind of...
You look at some of these books and you can even see the freckles on them. Yeah, which is quite interesting. And the little hairs and everything.
I hate to break it to you, Sia, but your skin and mine and Leanne's and everybody else's is just another kind of leather if you cure it properly.
I'll tell you how you know these books are made from human skin when you open it up and it starts to scream and cry.
And so it's actually quite difficult to tell scientifically which books are made of human skin, because the tanning process, and this is what made me think about it, was Gareth, you talking about your friend who makes leather goods. Mm. The tanning process kills the DNA. So the way that they do it is they cut a tiny little piece of the cover and put it into a machine with some, you know, chemicals, and it tells you that the DNA is like 99% great ape, which means human.
Wow.
So she collects all of these books. She was a librarian to start with. So this kind of explains her fascination. She's like putting out this appeal now for people who are librarians or work in big libraries to investigate whether their books are made of human skin.
Wow.
Leanne.
Yes.
Are you saying, if you take someone's skin and tan it in that leather making process, you won't be able to find out who it is?
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. No, but you will.
Now you know what to do with the skin of your dead.
but you will be able to find out that it was something pretty awful. So, you know, there are these books that they say they've got in the Vatican Library, for example, that they took away from witches during the 1600s. And the Necronomicon, which I mentioned earlier, is also known as the Book of the Dead. It's a supposedly fictional book, but some people say they've seen it. That's bound in human skin. And it has pages of paper, obviously. And on the paper is written in blood the spells and the ideas and the thoughts and the plans and the potions of these witches. Yes, that's apparently it's real. I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, if that's real, that would be something to have, right?
Yeah, you know, very fascinating.
There is something odd and also intriguing about the first person in history to do certain things. Like, who was the first person who sat and thought, if we could do it to cows, then we can do it to humans. This is a good idea. Let's do that. Sure. Like, who was that person? What would they
Well,
who was the first person who thought, humans are so screwed up, I think I can help them. Let me do this thing called therapy. Like, who's that person?
Andre says, Sia, your skin would make for a beautiful, glowing book cover. Mm. And you really, Sia, you have looked after your skin so beautifully. You moisturize, and I think it would make a fine book.
That isn't the type of flattery I want. No, that's not doing anything for me.
Dr. Robin says, as a doctor, I'm really pleased that my books are bound in paper and card. No. Dealing with a cadaver in second year was bad enough. Sure. Yeah. If they could use bum skin as a book cover, I wonder if the anus if the anus would be visible.
Imagine... You could stretch an anus over a back cover easily. Put that balloon knot right on the front.
Imagine you had your memoirs written as a book, but you had the anus as
No.
Like, I suspect if, you know, my cousin who rebuilds babies' bum holes,
yeah.
Yes. If she could write a book and then stretch an anus over the front.
I wonder who would buy that book. Can you imagine?
You would, Gareth.
I don't know that I would. I seriously don't know. I mean, how do you, that's like going up to the counter in a bookstore with a porno mag. Like, here, I'm just buying this book that's covered in anus. I'd be so embarrassed.
The last thing you wanted to be, though, is a pop-up book with something that comes out.
No!
But I have told you that there are those, I wish I could remember what they're called now, but there's someone I follow on Instagram, and they make these really grisly things, like they make a cover for a lighter that you put a lighter into, but it's got like an eye and it's got skin and stitches and a tooth popping out, and they're these really gross. Whoever does this, they do it so well. It looks frightening, but at the same time, the way I feel about it is that if you bought, let's say it was a key ring or a cell phone cover, for example, so it would go on the back of your cell phone, it's got like an eye and a mouth, and it looks like some monster. No one's going to steal that. So I would want one for that reason, but those aren't made of actual skin or anything. They just look gross.
That is this ghost thing.
Yeah, it's very clever. Let me see if I
can find if you think about traditional healers in South Africa, I'm sure they've got little jars of bits of human all over the place.
Oh, sure. And, you know, universities have museums dedicated to these things. So they're all over the place. But I wish I could remember what this this account is that I follow on Instagram, but it's really clever. So it's an artist who, what they do is they obviously make it out of clay or out of plastic or something, and then they put like a gloss over it so it looks like it's actually quite moist. And it's got an eye, and they've painted on the little veins, and it's got these gross yellowish teeth that pop out, and they've got stitching and like veins, and it's really, really unbelievably well done, but it's gross.
Isn't it so weird how we have leather products on us all the time? We're carrying around cow skins and sheep skins and crocodile skins, and you know, we're wearing shark's teeth around our neck. It's actually really grim. There's not much grim difference between that and a human skin.
But humans have been wearing this stuff as trophy stuff for years, for ages. They've had, you know, people have made necklaces out of the bones of their enemies. And if you think about it, the way people would use ivory is essentially, it's, you know, it's elephant skeleton essentially, and that's what people have been making jewelry out of. So why the hell not?
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty sick, but if you if you wanted to, I suppose you could have a tooth of someone who's died, and you could turn that into a piece of jewelry. We have people who make things out of hair. We have people who make things out of bones. So why not?
Yeah.
Not my thing, but for some people it is.
It's all weird.
Well, speaking of all things meaty, a restaurant in Singapore is the first in the world to dish up lab-grown meat. And we were actually speaking about lab-grown meat the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it really tasted like chicken, we would eat it.
Sure.
But... yeah, this is a complete breakthrough for the global food industry, because this food, and in particular, they've made chicken nuggets that were grown in a lab, have been approved by regulatory bodies. Look, and that's a first for anyone in the world.
I don't think there's anything wrong with lab-grown meat. In fact, the whole reason that I would be for it is because the animals don't have to suffer. But don't tell me. Don't say this was grown in a lab. Just, you know, if it tastes the same. No, if it tastes the same, I'd rather not know. I'll take your word for it.
It's so weird how, like, now if you go to supermarkets, there's so many meat replacement products.
Mm.
Yet, and somehow they gross me out a bit. Like, polony made out of plants. I don't really want to eat that. But in the meantime, I'm eating polony that is made of every bit, including the anus of animals.
And we're back to anuses. This is all right. Well,
always.
Shrunken heads are something that's just been suggested by Reneed. He says that, you know, that they used to capture people and they would shrink their heads.
Yes. Oh.
Yes. That was a thing that people used to do as part of their tribal culture, I suppose.
Wouldn't they like? Well, firstly, they would shrink anyway, just naturally.
They'd pickle. Them. They'd put them
decaying.
They'd put them into stuff that basically removed all the moisture. So you take water out and everything just shrinks right down.
I've said it before and I still stick to it. If they created a time travel machine today, I have no interest.
You wouldn't
go back to times of shrinking heads?
No, Sia. I think it would be fascinating. Bridget says, my grandmother used to use someone's hip replacement joint as a doorstop.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my word.
Oh, jeez.
That's amazing. That's very cool.
It reminds me of the time. This is reason number 7004 why my childhood was screwed up. We had two dogs at the time.
Was this when you guys were so desperately hungry that you ate your dogs? I think you've told us that story.
No. Please no.
It's just all replaying in my mind. It's so sick. Yeah. It's weird.
What happened?
We had two dogs at the time, and our dog Sheba had passed away. And so we thought to rather bury her at the bottom of our garden. We had a bit of a ceremony, and the dog really was also part of everything, you know, just to see that, yo, your beloved Sheba, she's gone now, you know. And for weeks afterwards, we would see our other dog always at that corner of the garden. So we're thinking, you know, this is her way of mourning. And she really just goes and sits with her old friend. Up until one day, we saw her with a bone in her mouth. No. And we're like, you are eating Sheba.
Oh, no. Yeah, feel ill.
Terrible. Oh, you see?
Like, you sicko, leave your friend alone. Let her rest in peace. So she was just like scurrying about with the big bone in her mouth.
And you thought this meant that she was mourning. That's hilarious.
I thought, okay, this is her way of dealing with it. Meanwhile, she was like chowing her friend. It's disgust.
Gross, man.
So,
note to self, dogs can't mourn like we do. No.
Bolelos just reminded me that Ilse Koch, she was known as the bitch of Buchenwald. She made lamps out of human skin at the concentration camps, and she was insane. She's really, really insane. We should actually cover her in an episode of Blind History, because she was a revolting woman. So, yes, there are things that humans do... And that dogs clearly do that are beyond the pale.
Boy, babe.
What can you do though? What can you do about them? So I would eat. Would you have any problem with lab grown meat? I mean, if they grow it in a petri dish or if it grows on some poor cow who then gets slaughtered, I'd rather go for the former than the latter.
I just have to wrap my head around it. But the only reason why I'm not vegan or vegetarian is because I love the taste of meat. So if you can find me a substitute that tastes the same, I'm there.
Yeah. I have no problem with it. Sia, your dog eating the other one is the difference between letting Sheba rest in peace or letting her rest in pieces. Oh. Poor Sia. This is his childhood pet you're talking about. Have some decency.
You know? Sheba, no,
poor animal.
Oh,
anyway, hey, listen, if anyone from PE wants to come up to Joburg for the holidays, you're welcome. Just bring some money. We're not going to support you, but you're welcome to come and spend your money here. Right?
Well, it will be a bit of a payback. Now we Joburgers will know how everyone else feels, like all the Capetonians feel when in December we run over there. So it's a payback.
Shame, I was talking to my friend Greg, you know, he runs Rage, and he's been on the show a couple of times, and he said it's just been unbelievable how difficult the authorities have made Rage this year. And I know some people think, oh, well, what are you doing this to, you know, creating events for Matrix to go to in a COVID year? There are people who think that. And I just wonder what I would feel like if I were a Matrix and this was my final year of school. And I just finished exams, and then I couldn't go out and do the things I wanted to do. I couldn't go out and party. I couldn't have a good time. I'd be furious. And here he is. He's trying to organize this good time for them, and he says it's just been absolutely impossible to make anything happen. So I feel very sorry for all the matrix who have been trying to enjoy their big holiday at the end of school. And I feel for all the people in the entertainment industry, especially the events industry, who haven't been able to do anything. Because every single thing they've tried to do, the authorities have made extremely difficult for them. And maybe for good reasons, maybe for not. I'm suggesting it's probably for not. I think it's just so sad that this whole year has pretty much been, for so many people, a write-off.
And then you look at certain, I feel like there's certain events or things that also slip through the cracks of what the authorities want or don't want.
Yeah.
I think on paper, it was meant to, it was an event where it was a concert, it's held on a big field, and people were meant to stay in their little pods or groups or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And there was going to be a stage for the artist. What happens when an artist everyone likes starts performing? Everyone will run towards the stage.
Right.
So it was something that I saw Zonke is she's not a jazz musician. She's a South African musician.
Well known singer, yeah.
She posted a video of her performing, and you can see it's a massive, massive field, but the field is largely vacant because everyone else had just run up to her to stage. And so it just looked like a normal concert. Like things happen, and things will happen.
Well, I don't know that I'm going to any concerts, but I haven't been antisocial this year. So I've seen lots of my friends. I've seen lots of my family. And from that point of view, I don't think anything's going to change for me. And I think that these after tears events that Cyril was talking about have been a major spreader in the Eastern Cape, which is one of the reasons why he had to make his speech last night and he had to clamp down and say, a hotspot. That's kind of how he says it, hotspot, something like that. So I know I'm usually mean to the people of PE, but I'm on your side this time. So PE, I don't think that you deserve to be treated horribly. And maybe they're just testing more people. Maybe the hospitals are full. I don't know the details because I don't live there. And I know that there are doctors who listen to the show who have all sorts of insights here. But I think that ultimately you can't fight a virus. There's nothing you can do. It's either going to get you or it isn't. You're going to make sure your immune system is as good as possible and otherwise live your life. And if you are in the vulnerable group, sure, stay away from people. The rest of us can wear masks if it makes you feel better. We can socially distance, all that stuff. But honestly, you're not going to stop this thing. So we've got to carry on living. It's December, for heaven's sake. Get on with your life. Something that was raised yesterday, says Nikita, I listened to the podcast this morning because I missed it live, was the issue of COVID testing, and someone doubted that they're testing the asymptomatic people. Well, they are. My mom has to go for a screening procedure, and she has to get COVID tests just to get a booking. Wow. Okay. Hotso says, don't be surprised if you grow horns or a third leg if you eat lab-grown meat. That's not that's not true.
I started growing a third leg, and I didn't eat lab grown meat.
You almost grew a what?
I started growing a third leg.
Leanne.
Have I not told you the story?
I knew when Sia, Leanne? Hang on a second. I knew when Sia said, I've got a story for you, and told us the story of beloved Sheba. But now I knew this was coming this morning. We can't have a Friday without Leanne giving us some unbelievable story that's absolutely true from her bizarre life. All right, what is this? You grew a third leg?
So when I was in primary school, I dismissed the pain on the inside of my knee as growing pains. And eventually, when I was taking big steps, or going upstairs, my knee would lock in a position and it would be very, very painful. Felt like there was something hooking. And so I went to my GP, who happens to be a brilliant diagnostic. And he had a little look around, sent me for an x-ray. And it came back. And on the x-ray, so if your leg bone, it was on my tibia, because in your but lower leg, you get your fibula and your tibia.
Mm-hmm.
And off of my tibia, there was something that looked like a little witch's nose that was growing off of it. So it was actually, it was so rare, but it was interesting because a little boy a week before me was diagnosed with the same thing. He had it on his arm.
What
it's called
hell?
It's called an osteochondroma. And if you let it be, it'll grow into a third limb. So the little piece of bone had on it its own little muscle system, its own tendons, all sorts of things.
What and the so fuck?
I would have started growing it out from the inside of my left knee.
So you would have,
I've got the scar to prove it, but it had to be removed.
So you would have had 2.5 legs because this one would have come off the one leg. Was it on the inside of the knee or the outside?
Inside,
of it?
The inside.
Oh, that's awkward.
So I would have had a middle leg, like a penis, growing from my inside left knee. I would have had to have 3 shoes.
Oh, that would have been so great if you'd had 3 legs. I would have loved that. I would have taken you around the country in a circus tent. I would have charged people money to see your foot and your third shoe.
Now, I have so many questions. You said it was growing like a witch's nose, so slightly crooked. Was it growing horizontally? So if what I'm asking is... If, horizontal.
No, like the, I'm sorry if you're listening and not watching, but just to show Sia, it was like that.
Describe.
So off of the straight bone, there was a little witch's nose hanging downwards off the inside of my knee.
So it was you were going to have basically like 2 calves from one kneecap.
Yes. Well, not from the kneecap, it's inside. So
you are a freak. You are a freak.
Roll up, roll up, and come and see Leanne Mole, the woman with 3 legs. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you think you've seen it all. But you can get to touch it if you're really lucky and you pay me 20 rand. 20 rand to see Leanne's leg, 50 rand to touch it. And if you're really lucky, you can have her shoe for a third shoe for 100. I wonder if it would be a left or a right shoe.
Well, you know, a lot of charity shops give away one shoe sometimes to people who have one leg. So I would have good luck finding an extra shoe from those shops, I suppose.
Would it get?
And I wonder if it would have been fully formed or if it would have been like a dwarf leg.
I reckon it would have, I mean, it looked, I don't know, Sia, I don't know.
And Leanne, you've done a lot of traveling in your time. Are you sure you didn't go to Chernobyl?
Chernobyl.
It was so weird. And it was diagnosed by the same doctor a week after this other little boy. Shame, his was malignant. I was lucky. Mine was benign.
You would have basically been a tripod.
Yeah, I would have been.
Imagine if you could run. I'm just trying to picture how you would look if you could run on just the left leg and the left half leg, and your right leg you could just hold with your hand, and you could run, gallop like a horse.
Well, why not use it? And when I ran, it would go da-da-da, da-da-da.
We could hear you like walk upstairs. Wait.
Oh,
Trots. No, that's Leanne.
Oh, I wish you hadn't had it cut off and killed. You could have been so, so interesting to watch.
So if you want to look it up, it's called an osteochondroma of the tibia. Mine was the left tibia.
Now, I'm just picturing so like a fully grown knee down calf on your one side, and you'd have like a funny little cloven situation. Oh, God, that would be fun. Wow. Amazing. George, you're horrified by this. You've absolutely disgusted. George Meany's with us, everybody.
Hey, how's it, Gareth? And the team, Leanne, I caught the end of that. I've got this picture in my head. I'm scared to Google.
Well, Peter says, and Peter's reminded me because I know the song, goes, I'm Jake the Peg Diddle 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 Do with my extra leg diddle 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 do. Remember that?
Weren't there circus acts with people that strapped this extra leg onto themselves and did that gallop thing?
Listen to this. Nikita says she assisted in surgery for a child who was born with a finger-like projection from the base of the neck at the back. So it had vertebrae in it, but it looked like an extra finger.
It would have been like a coat hanger. You could just put...
you could hang things on. Woody says, Leanne, don't forget to tell everybody next Friday about the time that you were 12 years old and your third eye opened for a day.
Promise that didn't happen. Weird things happen. I mean, it could have, but I wasn't aware at the time.
I love these stories. Wow. Sila says, Leanne is the modern day Ripley's Believe It or Not. And Sibusiso says, Leanne has lived. Jesus, what a life. I couldn't agree more.
The Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you should be in some Guinness book for the most.
Graham says.
Yeah.
Leanne, your name would be 3N.
3N.
Oh, no. Oh,
that's the greatest. Oh, man. All right, George. Audrey-Anne, as in Dri.
Audrey-Anne.
Jesus, that's funny. That's so clever. People are the best. All right, so George, welcome to this lunatic asylum this morning, George. How are you?
That's all right. That's all right. Cabello, what would you like me to do to my hair? Rather wear it this way.
Yeah, George has Lego hair like Gareth, says Cabello. They always say I've got Lego hair, but
It's better than the middle.
It's a good thing.
I can't believe I can't believe that Cabello's worried about my hair or George's hair when we've just heard that Leanne would have had a third leg and would have been called 3Anne. Do me a favor.
Get your priorities right, Cabello. Okay.
All right. So what's happening, George? You've got some stories for us.
It seems to be a new scam on the horizon to steal cars, or wait, should I say, to make money out of stolen cars?
Oh yeah.
Recently in November, this South African gentleman had an Audi A5 hijacked. Mm-hmm. But the problem was this car wasn't insured. A little while later, he got a telephone call from a cop. And the cop said to him that they have his vehicle, and if he paid 20,000 rand, he would get his car back.
So in other words, it was bribery.
Well, that could very well be the case. And he didn't know whether this cop was real. So he played along, went with the whole thing, paid the 20,000 rand, actually spent the day with the officers in other dealings of what they did during the day.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, 2 days later, he got his car back.
Jeez.
So it wasn't crooks. It was actually a part of the police investigation. I mean, I'm really confused.
So he went with them on their day-to-day activities, not related to the car.
Okay, and then found it just purely by chance.
And he paid the 20,000 rand, and so he laid a complaint. And apparently the policeman is still working despite photo and video evidence, or should I say audio evidence. And he's got his car back, but he's short of 20,000 rand.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, if you have a car and it's not insured, that's madness, especially if it's a new car. That's crazy, right, George? I mean, some people won't even let you buy a car if you don't have the insurance.
Well, it's more about the bank finance, Gareth. So the bank is not going to finance the car for you if you don't insure it. Because when you buy a car, you take ownership of the car. So on the papers, you'll see that you're the owner, but the bank is the title holder. And that gives them the right to repossess that car if you don't pay for it. And they won't insure it. So the dealership won't hand the car over to you because it's a rule that before the bank pays the dealer for the car in your name because of the finance, that the car has to be insured.
Yeah, I was under the impression that all cars had to be insured legally, but that's clearly not the case if there are people driving around with cars that are not insured.
Well, there used to be this third-party insurance requirement.
Yeah. Mm.
And then back to this story, I didn't calculate this down to the daily number, but there are 128 cars stolen in South Africa every single day.
128 a day. That's just phenomenal. My God.
128 wow. Cars stolen per day in the country. So, if you do get a telephone call from an official or anybody that wants to make you pay to get your car back, I don't think that's quite above board.
No, hell no, absolutely. Okay.
More positive story. Cape Town has launched a solar-powered electric car charging station. So in the Bellville Civic City Center, there is a solar-powered charge station, which is for free for the next 2 years.
That's very cool. I'm not surprised, though, that Cape Town is the first place to introduce a solar-powered car charging station. But I love the fact that we're slowly but surely building the infrastructure, and there are more and more places that are offering to charge cars, and there are new ways to do it. I think we've all got to move to electric cars as quickly as possible. Didn't you tell us we've only got like 10 years anyway until they want to make all the cars electric?
Yeah, so most of Europe, so we have a couple of problems in this country, Gareth. Most of Europe have deadlines, depending on the country, ranging between 2035 and 2045. Where they want to ban all ICE vehicles. as a matter of fact, the UK has brought that date back to 2030.
Sure.
And so there's a couple of inherent problems in that. The first inherent problem is our GDP or our economy. 64% of all cars manufactured in South Africa go to Europe. Okay. So our locals, our local supply is much more than our local demand.
Right.
So if all of those cars go to Europe and they don't want to accept ICE vehicles, we lose roughly 4% of our GDP immediately.
We can't afford that.
Yeah. So the one thing we have to do as a country is we have to tool up to start to manufacture electric cars, because otherwise those countries are going to find those electric cars elsewhere.
Yeah.
So that's the one problem, is the export. We're a net exporter of cars. The other problem is if we don't move to electric as a consumer population, we will end up having an ICE aging fleet. So even if we wanted to import ICE vehicles, we won't be able to.
An ICE age fleet. shut up there, 3N.
Should be the other way around. An aging ICE fleet, 3N. what does that make me? Dyslexic.
George, that's the least of the worries today. You can be dyslexic if we'll accept you. Yeah. We won't accept someone who's three-legged.
Your dyslexia is not a problem.
I did grow up near those towers in the east of Joburg.
Yeah.
Well,
Joburg? I don't see any towers.
You know those in near Edenvale? Where was
it? Oh, yeah, come on.
those things aren't, there's no nuclear activity going on there. You'd have to have grown up near Chernobyl, as Sia said. Anyway, sorry, George, but we digress. So, okay, we've basically got to get onto electric vehicles ASAP.
We've got to. It is in our best interest. There's an example. I mean, I wasn't going to talk about this morning, but you brought up an important point. There's an example of a country that let go of their manufacture and that is Australia.
Mm.
Australia is an importer of cars. They don't manufacture cars anymore. They don't assemble cars anymore.
Right.
And their automotive industry absolutely crumbled as a result. So you know, and very lastly, you know, there's from a new car point of view, it's between retail and manufacture, it contributes about 7% to our GDP. I think it's much higher than that. I think it's at about 20% of GDP, because taking into account all of the other services, Tiger Wheel and Tire, HiQ, secondhand car retail, sure, all of those things, the automotive industry contributes, in my opinion, much more than 7% to our GDP. So we've got to work with the government to get this done, and the only way to do that is to reduce taxes and bring on incentives. But let's not get onto that moaning.
Yeah, no, sure, but I think that's a valid point. We it's a good thing we've got that part of our economy that is manufacturing vehicles, but we've got to move to electric if we want to be part of the future economy. Exactly. All right, what else is going on?
So remember the Ford Kuga fires?
Yes, where they suddenly just burst into flames, and we thought it was because the Cougars who were driving them were drinking while they were driving, but it turns out it was just the cars.
It was just the cars. So I mean, if you remember for everybody, what happened was there was a problem with airflow and cooling inside the engine bay, which then caused an oil leak, which then caused the fire. So that was the crux of the problem. Ford recalled a whole lot of vehicles, 4,500 in South Africa, as a matter of fact, and got them repaired. These vehicles were manufactured or built in Valencia, Spain, between the years of December 2012 and February 2014. South Africa slapped Ford with a 35 million rand fine as a result, but another thing happened in the background. 53 people laid claims to Ford for compensation. And 47 of them got a 50,000 rand payment, and three people rejected the payment and are going to court, and three people's claims were rejected by Ford. So this story continues with Ford compensating people whose cars caught on fire with 50,000 rand each.
George, do you know why the three are going to court?
Because I don't believe that the sum is big enough. Okay. They want more.
See, right. Those are my people.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, there's three of them who did it. This is like the number of legs Leanne has.
No, but those are my people. I heard 50,000 and I thought that wasn't enough. And you know, here, take my legal advice from someone who has no legal expertise at all. If you want to win a lot of money in court, always go with something they can't put their finger on. Claim pain, claim trauma, claim, you know, just the whole experience was too much for you. They can't prove that, but you can say, oh, I can't even leave the house anymore and go into a car because of what I experienced when the car blew up.
And they'll say that. They'll say, no, you can't leave the house because of lockdown. Stop making it about you.
Oh.
Anyway, if Sia...
Yeah, but I think 50,000 is too little.
I just want to warn anybody, if you see Sia as a litigant or as a claimant in some case, just run. He's going to try and he's going to try and get you to pay for everything else in his life. He's one of those people. So just run.
Absolutely.
All right, George.
I'm not denying that.
We seem to have a question by Amy, Gareth.
Okay, let's go to Amy's question. Amy says, "Hi, George. Out of interest, how do services like We Buy Cars and other buying services work? In particular, where do these guys that they buy go? Where do the cars? I'm sure Amy's drunk. Anyway, she says, there seems to be a very high demand for used cars. Is this true, or are the cars being sent elsewhere? Thanks. All right. Do you make sense of that, George? Can you help?
Yeah, I can help, Gareth. So Amy, between your glasses of wine there, no, the cars don't go elsewhere. There is a very high demand for used cars in South Africa at the moment, and the reason is a couple of fold. One, we are under economic pressure. We're in recessionary territory. And number two, as a result of financial pressures, and people have lost their jobs, if you recall, and got salary cuts, people are opting for used cars because you can get a better deal
sure.
with a used car than what you can with a new car. So no, the cars aren't going anywhere. They're in the country.
And how does it work with those services? How do those companies like We Buy Cars and Cars.co.za and all those people, how do they manage their businesses?
Well, the car buying services, they buy cars from consumers and then sell them on back to consumers. So the car buying services trade cars just like any other car dealer. And, you know, the difference between We Buy Cars, who's a customer of Auto Trader, is it's a car supermarket, which means right. there's a couple of thousand cars on their floor, whereas a traditional car dealer has maybe 30, 40, 50 cars on their showroom floor. But if you go to a really cool site that I know about called autotrader.co.za, you will see 75,000 cars.
So, cut out the middleman. All right, so here's something interesting. Amy apologizes for her shoddy typing. She says, well done for understanding the question. But someone made a point here about Leanne's story from last week. About how you fell, Leanne, while you were in the driveway and you chipped out your teeth. And they say that you shouldn't be called 3-Anne with your three legs. You should be called P-Anne because you were peeing in your driveway.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we've got time for. Gosh. That's enough stupidity for one morning. Everybody have a happy day.
Cocksnocks, Yella. Cocksnocks. Yeah,
Gareth, can I just mention one more thing?
Sure, George.
For everybody that's perhaps driving this December, looks like there's a petrol price decrease on the horizon.
Oh, that's great. We need some good news. Okay, good. Even if it's 2 cents reduction, we'll take it. All right, George, thanks very much. George Meany, the CEO of Auto Trader. You can find out more by going to their website. As he says, how many thousand? 75,000 cars.
75,000 vehicles, yes. Yes.
All right.
Very, very good.
And Sia Sangweni, the producer of the show, and we're recording our last TV show on Monday for the year, but we will be here until Christmas. And 3-Anne, who is joining us again on Monday. What a life, what a story, what a person. All right, everybody, be good.
Break a leg, Leanne.
Oh. Thanks.
CliffCentral.com.